In the book of Psalms, chapter 18 and verse 9, we read these words, "He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet." This is taken from one of David's Psalms. The psalmist David knew the Lord as his Savior. He knew what it was to have heaven come down and to have glory fill his soul. Today I wish to speak of that wonderful day when heaven did come down in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the Creator, the Son of God, bowed the heavens and came down into the world his hands had made, and to mingle amongst the creatures whom he had created, and to be here for the purpose of saving them and bringing them to himself. Oh, what a humbling was his! What grace is seen in the fact that he came down from the mansions above in the glory where he ever was with the Father, and the eternal Son of God became in incarnation the Savior of mankind. He bowed the heavens also and came down. In the Epistle to the Philippians in chapter 2 we read that he humbled himself. He took the form of a servant. He became as in the fashion of man, in order that he might give himself as man in death. He became obedient unto death, that he might pay the penalty which we as sinners deserved, that he might be our substitute. And he became obedient even to the death of the cross, a death that would make atonement, that is, a satisfactory payment for sin. And this he has done. This Blessed One came to do this, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Yes, beloved friend, he bowed the heavens and came down. The most wonderful day, I say, in the history of the earth was when this Blessed One came into the world to save sinners. The most wonderful day in the history of the soul, however, is when that soul who realizes his need as David did turns to this Blessed One who came down and in simple faith receives him. And each one who hears my voice today who has done this through simple faith in him can say, "Glory fills my soul." What a wonderful day it was when your sins were washed away, when your night was turned to day. This is what takes place when you come to him at the cross. But I would like to notice the experience of David as he relates it for us in this 18th psalm. He says in verse 1, "I will love thee, O Lord," or Jehovah, "my strength." Anyone who has received the revelation of God concerning his Son loves him. Do you love the Lord Jesus? David did. He loved him. Who? Jehovah. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Be assured of this, dear friend. The word Jesus itself, for instance, means Jehovah, the Savior. And this is the name that was given to the Son of God when he came into the world, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And he came that he might go to the cross and lay down his life for sinners, that sinners might be redeemed. Oh, this is the purpose for his coming. And everyone who was redeemed, like David of old, who looked forward to the coming of Christ, he believed the prophecies that the Redeemer, the Jehovah, was to come, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. We look back to the time when our Savior has been here. Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he now is glorified. God has exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The psalmist says again, I repeat in verse 1, "I will love thee, O Jehovah." And he recounts and relates the various reasons. In verse 2 he says, "Jehovah is my rock." The word for rock here is really a cleft rock. And this is what our Savior became. He's referred to the rock as an illustration of him in many passages in the Scriptures. "This rock," he said to Peter, "upon this rock, Christ Jesus, will I build my church." And in order for the sinner to be saved, the rock must be cleft. And our blessed Savior was cleft at Calvary. David goes on to say, "My fortress, oh, how we need protection." And this we have only in Him. "My deliverer, oh, how we need deliverance. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from self, deliverance from Satan. This deliverance is found only in the person of Jehovah, our Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ." Then he goes on to say, "He is my God," or the word actually is "my mighty one." Thank God that there is omnipotence in this blessed one. He is the mighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is all-powerful, and all power has been committed to Him. And beloved friend, this is the one who can undertake for you and who desires to do so regardless of how in bondage you might be to sin and enslaved to the devil. There is deliverance in the might of the Savior. Then he goes on to say, "He is my strength." This could be translated rock again, and this suggests a great hardness of rock, a mass such as a foundation on which to build. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the foundation. Other foundation can no man lay. Regardless of what you may be building on, your good works, your church attendance, your morality, all of this is nothing but sinking sand. There is only one foundation that is going to endure and on which you can safely trust yourself, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock. Let me ask, are you on Him? David says, "In Him I will trust." And then he goes on to say, "He is my buckler," that is a shield. We are shielded by Him from every evil, every influence that would deter, that would distract. Blessed be God, we have in Christ a protection, a shield that avails in any time of difficulty. Then he goes on to say, "He's the horn of my salvation, and He is my high tower." I draw attention to the personal pronoun in all of this. And this is what He must be for you, dear friend. And He longs to be, He waits to be, your personal Savior. David does not say He is our rock, our fortress, our salvation. He says He is my rock, my fortress, my salvation, and my high tower. Let me ask, is He yours? He must be yours individually. You have to deal with God as an individual. You can only come to Him just as you are as an individual. He appeals to you. He says, "Come unto me," says our blessed Lord, "all ye that labor, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." You must have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. David says, "I will call upon Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies." I will call upon Jehovah. In the New Testament we read, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Calling upon Him, like the publican who said, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Like the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, "Oh," she said, "Lord, help me." Like the thief on the cross, he said, "Lord, remember me." Like Peter when he was sinking in the waves on the Sea of Galilee, he said, "Lord, save me." Your prayers need not be long. But God knows the sincerity of them, and you must call upon the name of the Lord, or you will be lost. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he goes on to say, "The sorrows of death compass me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about, and the snares of death confronted me." Are you not alarmed at the condition around you? Do you not see death staring you in the face? You know your life is uncertain. You know that eternity is long. Oh, be not deceived by the enemy of your soul that would try to close your eyes to the realities of eternity, dear friend. You need to be saved. You need to be delivered. You need this blessed one who has come down to this earth to give himself for you. You need to receive him. The psalmist said, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God." Have you done this? Have you turned to the Lord in repentance for your sin? You have sinned. You know it. God knows it. You must repent. You must come to Him. And He is only waiting for that simple, sincere cry, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." "I have sinned," said the prodigal. This is the cry that he hears. Just as David said, he heard my voice out of his temple. God hears every feeble, simple cry of earnestness, of faith. He will hear you. Have you called upon him? David did. And he says, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. That's one prayer he will hear. Again, I repeat it. If there's nothing more that you get today, if you will only realize that there is one who is waiting to hear your cry, I trust you realize your distress, that you need the Savior. The ills of the world are all summed up in this, that you need to turn to God in repentance and then put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as evidence by your cry to him, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The reason that he bowed the heavens and came down is that he might be available to you, because he has finished the work to put your sin away, and he is willing to receive you. He bowed the heavens and came down, says the psalmist, and darkness was under his feet. You have no hope in this world. It looks very bleak, very dark, doesn't it? And in the hands of man, it is hopeless. And things are getting worse and worse. And men are being deceived more and more all the time. But you need not be. The darkness that you have now as to your condition of your soul, as to eternity, as to the things of God, can all be dispelled, beloved friend, if you will but in simple faith come to this one who loves you and bowed the heavens and came down to earth for you. He wants that glory should fill your soul. The light of the glory of the gospel of Christ will shine into your heart and dispel all your darkness, the darkness of sin, when you come to him as a simple sinner and confess him as your Lord Jesus Christ. This is what David did. I would like to notice in the 16th verse some of the things which he says this blessed one, Jehovah, did for him. I thank God that I can add my testimony to this, because I know this blessed Savior who came into the world for me as the one who has redeemed me. Perhaps many of my listeners today also know him as the one who has died to redeem, and you know Jesus, you love him because he first loved you. In verse 16, notice this. He sent from above, says David. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Oh, how many times we see here the connection between the he and the me. Now, you know what this is about. If you have trusted Christ as a Savior, he is specially precious to you. And you know that he has redeemed you. When you were saved, you saw yourself as the one that deserved to be on Calvary. Dear listening friend, have you ever seen yourself as the one that deserved to die the death of the cross? And I'll tell you this, unless you're saved, you will die for your own sin and perish in your sins, and be judged in your sins for all eternity. But it need not be. The blessed Son of God has come. He has bowed the heavens and come down, that you and I might be delivered. The psalmist said, he sent from above. Another translation gives it, he reached from above. Blessed Savior, he did reach. What a reach to come from the glory, right down to earth. Oh, what a descent he made. He sent from above. And then he took me. The blessed Lord Jesus came to take you personally, just like the good shepherd that went and sought that sheep that was lost. He stooped and he picked it up when he found it, and then he put it on his shoulders. The Lord Jesus wants to do this for you. If you will simply bleat out your distress to him in confession, call upon him, Lord, save me. I believe that you died for me on the cross. He will take you. He will pick you up. He will make you his own. He will put you on his shoulders, just as he did that lost sheep. And he will take you home, rejoicing. He drew me, says the psalmist, out of many waters. There are waters of death. There are waters of distress. There are waters of judgment. This is all that is before you, dear friend, if you are outside of Christ. The waters, thank God, however, have been dispelled for every believer, because the waters of death our Lord Jesus entered into. and he has exhausted the judgment of God for you if you will have him. He took me out of many waters. He drew me. Has he drawn you? Oh, how wonderful that hymn that we sometimes sing in loving kindness, Jesus came my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. This is what he does. Then he says, he delivered me from my strong enemy. The enemies that we have, sin, death, the grave, Satan, self, oh, how many, how strong they are. Too strong for you to combat. But thank God, this blessed one, through his own death on the cross, has made a payment for sin and has destroyed all these enemies. He has vanquished sin. He has paid the penalty. He has destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He is the victor, beloved friend, and he wants to deliver you just as he delivered David. To be delivered means to be saved, to save you from sin, to save you from self, to save you from Satan. And this he does to all who trust in him. You notice he says that this is not all. Salvation is not only negative, saving from, but in verse 19 he says, he brought me forth also into a large place. God has saved us that we might be with him and his Son in the eternal ages. There is a heaven, dear friend. Just as there is an eternity of hell for those that reject Christ, there is a heaven that the Lord Jesus wants you to share with him, which he has gone to prepare that those that love him may enter and dwell forever. He brought me forth into a large place. What a place of deliverance it is, a place of victory, a place of liberty. You have no liberty in doing your own will, but there's liberty. There is greatness in the blessings that God has provided for you. Now, why has he delivered us? Why would he think of such a one as you and me? The psalmist gives the answer. He says, he delivered me, and I have no doubt that he often wondered, well, why would he think of me, such a sinner as I am? And I'm sure every saved one has the same thought. Why would he save me? I'll tell you why. He delivered me because, the psalmist says, he delighted in me. Oh, how wonderful to think that though we have no love toward God, and you know as a non-saved person, you have no love toward God. You have no desire for him, and yet he loves you. God loves you, dear friend, dear young friend. If I'm talking to someone that has got all entwined with the things of this world, maybe you're taken up with drugs, maybe you're taken up with this movement and that movement. Listen, there's one that loves you. Don't destroy yourself. There's one that loves you and has provided deliverance for you. He delights in you. His delights were with the sons of men. The blessed Lord Jesus, that's why he came into the world. He loved you, and he wants your salvation. He has provided for it, and all you need do is to come to him. Let him deliver you. Let him save you. How can you do it? Come just as you are. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come to the cross, as it were, by faith, and see him dying for you. And then you will realize the glory that will fill your soul. God grant that you will come today, because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Dear friend, tragedy can strike so suddenly, and you'll be beyond the reaches of divine grace. Once you leave this life, you are where you will be, either saved or lost forever. God grant that today you will come just as you are, call upon the name of the Lord now, and be saved. Loving God our Father, we thank thee that heaven has come down in the person of thy beloved Son, and that thy glory will fill every soul that receives him. Bless the message today. Draw souls to thyself through the gospel, that thou hast loved and dost love all, and that thou wilt receive all who will come in repentance and faith. We ask thy blessing, trusting thee that many today will open their hearts and call upon the name of the Lord and be delivered. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.